City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
John Gibbons.
Hello.
Morning, Cabot.
Morning, New York.
Yeah, and we've got our two special guests from the Jacobins. Dom. Morning, Dom.
Morning.
And it's a correct pronunciation, Vesso or Visso?
Vesso, that's the one.
Vesso.
You got it right the first time.
Yeah.
It's Vesselin if he's naughty.
Vesselin.
Vesselin if he's naughty.
It's like your mum. My mum calls me Stephanie if I'm naughty.
I'm not going to ask about that.
Which is change of sex, isn't it? That's slightly wrong. Prefer to be
slightly
Vesselin.
Disturbing.
thank you very much indeed, boys. Great to see you up here. The Jacobins. How long have you been going?
About 2.5-3 years, I think, roughly.
Yeah, I think it's about that, yeah.
Yeah. Not changed in sort of members, all the,
lads,
or
no, it's been
we have a rotating door.
Yeah, so you know in Asda when they have them doors that spin around, that's what it's been
it's another lot, Gibbo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just about finding the right formula, isn't it? And I think they've got it now. The lads are absolutely flying at the moment, you know, been around for a while, and all known about them for a while, but last few months you can't move for hearing about them, and so it seems to be a real buzz at the moment, and they're jumping on it, which is what you've got to do. So exciting times.
Okay, a couple of things I normally ask people: where are you from? Obviously, your roots, Vesso. Where are you from?
Liverpool.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm missing. I was born in Bulgaria.
Bulgaria. But, how did you end up in Liverpool?
On the back of a lorry. I'm only messing.
I'm looking at you in disbelief then. But why did you move over to Liverpool? Music or not?
I just needed to find him. I needed to find his voice. That's what, you know. I had it in my head. It was like a mission from Almighty. It was like, I need to find Dom and get in a band with him.
He's a bit crazy, this Vesso man, isn't he?
I have to live with him.
Do you live together, do you?
Yeah, me Vesso and our keyboardist John, we live together in Wavertree.
Right, okay. How many in the band altogether?
Six.
Six of you?
We're like Blazing Squad.
Go on, what
you wish.
What does everyone do?
Well, Vezo's obviously on lead.
He's got that about him, hasn't he?
You can tell, can't you?
You can, actually.
Like, yeah, he's a guitarist, yeah. And then we've got a rhythm guitarist, who's Andy. We've got drummer Mark. Bassist, we've got Chris. Mm. Keyboard, we've got John. And you got myself on vocals.
And are you from the city, Dom?
Yeah, well, all my lot from Wavertree.
And you all met young, did you? Or how did you get together?
It's a very weird story. Like, he was, he does karaoke from time to time, and
karaoke.
Yeah, I've heard him.
You were doing karaoke, Dom.
Karaoke.
Yeah.
Where in the city?
Yeah, around town.
I've heard him sing. I've heard him sing, and I was just like, I need to be in a band with this guy. So I just went in, and I was stalking him for about 2 months.
Did you think it was slightly odd when this man from Bulgaria was basically watching you do karaoke?
They have all these like sort of classifieds for musicians like on the internet, and you know, like if you're looking for making a band and things, it's like this guy started typing. He's like the way he writes, like when he's writing things, it's like really aggressive. It's like, are we going to meet up or what? I don't know. It's like this guy's really, really spooking me out, because I remember. He wanted to meet, like, you know, to sort of band out, and he said, "Oh, we'll meet you up in the Punch and Judy," and he never turned up. I ended up meeting someone else and making another band with him because he stood me up, and that didn't last very long. And then eventually, we came back, and he was like, "You're just stalking me." So I thought, I just have to humour him, like, you know?
You've made it your mission, Vesso.
Oh, yeah.
To be in a band with these
guys. It's the best decision he's ever made.
I can support Dom's theory on Vesso's aggressive messages, by the way, because that's how we're here today.
it's really scary, isn't it, when you first, like, who's this crazy guy?
Why did he start texting you, did he?
You know, he messaged me to come on and a couple of other things about gigs, yeah, but he's quite forthright, I'd say.
Good on you. I like your craziness. There is something quite attractive about Vesso's craziness,
that's
isn't
what
there?
It is, you know. There's something really endearing about it, isn't there?
There is as well. Right, you work very hard, and obviously the idea for the Jacobins is make them as big as possible. You were saying before, you've done how many gigs in a couple of years? What do you think you're on?
I think by the end of the year we'll hit 250. You know, so that
250 for this year or for 2 years?
No, for the last two and a half years.
So in other words, one gig every 2 days, two, 3 days.
It averages out like
around
that, yeah.
Pretty much. This year we're on about, I think we're on about 75, but we've got another tour coming up, so we'll probably, hopefully, we might be able to take it over 100 this year. So that will be quite impressive.
It's very impressive. Are most bands doing this many
gigs? No. No, they're not, but like, credit to the Jacobins, because they're getting to where they want to be and getting bigger and bigger gigs, and people are, you know, hearing about them. And we were just talking about the festivals the guys doing. They're doing Leeds Festival next weekend, which is like the dream of any kid. When you start off and pick up a guitar, you're like, you pick the five things you want to do, and like, one of them is just playing a gig, but like, you know, another one is Leeds Festival. That's what you dream of doing. Like, you know, any kid who's picked up a guitar and they're like doing that next weekend, and that's hard work and determination, and obviously being really talented as well. So good on them.
There's no such thing as doing too many gigs, is there, Dom? You can't almost oversaturate yourself.
No, I think
you can if you do them in a particular city.
Yeah, I think a lot. Like, we know a lot of bands around, like around town and stuff, that they kind of. I think there's a temptation to sort of like play your home city too much, I think. You know what I mean? And it's like someone will be playing a gig.
And why is that? Because it's easier? Or
I think so, yeah. And I think, you know, you can always guarantee a good crowd in your home city, can't you? So people play it week in, week out. But then, to me, personally, I think it sort of like cheapens the event then. It's not a special event. When you come and play your home city, it should be a special event, like a proper event, whereas it comes a bit like... Oh, such and such is playing this week again. So they're playing this again. You know what I mean? It's like, you just got to get out across the country and spread your roots out, because you're not going to build an organic fan base otherwise. You're just going to be, well, the best you'll be is the King of Liverpool, but then no one else will know about you around the
town. It's great thinking that, isn't it? You want the bigger picture. You have to work harder for the bigger picture.
That's what it is. And I think, you know, it's lovely playing a home crowd and there's loads of people and it's great, but you've got to put the work in other cities around the country and go out there, and when you're starting off you're playing them gigs where it's a really small attendance, but you know, you might play into 30-40 people, but then 34 people are really having it, you know what I mean? And you've got fans the next time you visit that city, and there's 80 people, then there's 100 people, 200 people. So that's the way it builds up, you know what I mean? It's but I think a lot of people don't want to face that part of it when you're playing the initial gigs outside your city when you're starting off.
Yeah, that worry that no one's going to be there. You might be playing in front of four people.
That's what
or whatever,
it is. You know, people, you've got it. I don't care which band you are. Everyone's gone through that. Everyone's got to play to them small crowds when you're starting off. Because you go to a city you're not from, who knows you? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're starting off.
A little bit of nervousness. The festival sort of performances, Vesso, are they the icing, if you like? Are they the ones you look forward to most?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, it's amazing, but it kind of...
So which festivals have you done?
We've done Live in Leeds, Tramlines, Sound City, Glasgow Beach we're doing, didn't we? Black Fawn.
So quite a few then.
Don't look at me. I couldn't remember what we did last weekend. Yeah. Someone was asking.
Too many. If there's 75 gigs, then you do forget.
But they're not always the best moments, the festivals.
No, because sometimes it's a given that there's going to be a crowd, and it's, you know, because people are already there, and you're not like...
Ah, right.
It's not like you've... Sometimes it doesn't feel like you've earned it. Sometimes it does. You know, like when we did Why Not, we had a slot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we thought it's going to be completely dead. But by the second song, the tent was rammed. And, you know, you couldn't move. People waiting outside. And it was like, that's a bit...
Ah, so there you earned it, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got people in.
I totally disagree. I love festivals are the best part. So I think our sound carries better in festivals, because a lot of the time it's open air and things. And the sound's quite a big sound. And I think it really it works for us a lot. It really does work for us when it's like an outdoor-y sort of thing, you know.
And any plans to take on Bulgaria?
Possibly.
Yeah? He's not taking you to his hometown.
I'm going to leave him there, though. I'll make sure I'll take his passport off him.
There is actually, but, you know, I kind of have a policy of not revealing anything until it's 100% locked down.
Until it's signed.
Yeah.
Bulgaria, watch out. He's coming back. Absolutely brilliant. Right, so are you playing around here soon?
30th of September.
Yeah. There's a club night going around the whole of the UK called This Feeling, backed by Mikey Jones. It's fantastic. It gives a lot of new bands a chance. And they work closely with several magazines and Radio X and, you know, support new music constantly. And I've convinced him over the last year to relaunch it in Liverpool. Because they used to do it, but, you know, they scrapped it for a little bit. But the guy's absolutely incredible, and he's a champion to new music. And
Great, so you're going to be involved in that. Have you seen these lads?
I haven't yet, no. They've just really come into my attention the last few months for people talking about them, so I'll definitely try and get down on the 30th. I mean, the song we're going to play is brilliant.
Definitely try and get down. I mean, I always say to everyone is that our live sounds very different to the recording sound, you know.
You recorded, Zex. I had a little sneak preview of it before we played after the break. It's brilliant.
Well, to be honest, we've just come out of recording again now, and it's took us a while to find the right people to work with in terms of recording. You know, because I always say to people, like, when you go in the studio, while you're in that studio, the producer is essentially another member of the band, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. And, you know, you work with different people, and they might be really good, but they don't get you, or they don't get the sound out of you that you want, you know. And now we've found the guys that we really enjoy working with, only within the last, what, 6-9 months or something?
Something like that. So, yeah, a big thank you to AJ and Lee from Sugar House if they're listening.
Brilliant stuff. Radio City Tour. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. 9:26, right, we have the Jacobins in, Dom and Vesso from the band, as well as Gibbo, as always. We're going to play their latest track in a moment, but we want lyric line off you both, please, which sort of defines the music that you love. Vesso, we'll start with you. What is it?
I'll go with Rodriguez, also known as Sugarman. And there's a line that goes, "A monkey in silk is a monkey no less."
A monkey in silk is a monkey no less. What do you make of that, Gibbo? Man.
He's a great artist, though, isn't he? Great artist. Fantastic.
I don't know what he was thinking when he wrote that, but I'll tell you what, it's deep, isn't it?
It sums our Vez up.
Dom?
Mine would be out of, like, it'd have to be off the end of Abbey Road. The love you make is equal to the love you take. I always get mixed up which way around it is. I just love, like, the sentiment behind it. It's just really clever. I mean, I'm a sucker for Abbey Road, don't you? I mean, it's proper cliche to, like, the Beatles and be from Liverpool, but Abbey Road is just, you know, especially the end of it, it's not even pop music, it's just something else. It's like
the beautiful. Beatles, that's it for you, is it?
I love the Beatles, it's just, I think that the lyrics, especially on a lot of their old, the later records, the lyrics just get really, like, out of it, you know.
What about for you, the Beatles, Gibbo? We never really touched on it, have we?
Yeah, no, I love them, but as Dom says, you always feel like a bit of a cliche, don't you? Saying, I'm from Liverpool, love the Beatles and stuff like that. You know, it's become like, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's gone the other way in terms of coolness, but like you just kind of feel like it's like breathing, isn't it? You know, it's just obvious, you love the Beatles, but still, like, I still marvel on the way they construct songs and the way they put chord progressions together, and considering the music, a lot of the music's like 50 years old now, to still listen to it and still go, oh wow, that's really fresh and really interesting how they've done that is amazing, because, you know, so much of music kind of sounds the same because there's only so many chords you can play, but they still kind of take your breath away with how they kind of put songs together is you know, a real testament to them, really. And it shows, like, why everyone still loves them.
Clever lads. Right, let's play one of your tracks. This is the Jacobins. What are we playing and why are we playing it?
It's a track called Hasty. It's our latest single, and we're playing it because it's boss.
We'll be right back. tasty, the Jacobins. I really like that. I can imagine you lads live are going absolutely nuts on the stage. Yeah?
You have to.
Is that the act?
No, when you start hearing it live, you just can't help but just start getting into it, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like...
Yeah, there's no act. We just enjoy our music for some reason.
I say act, in the loosest sense. I mean, is that what you go and see? You know, you lads just let it go a bit.
Yeah, you know, I always say, like, you know, if you're on stage and you're expecting the audience to get into it, then if you're a band and you just stood there trying to be as cool as you can look, you know, strumming a couple of chords or something, or and just... It's like... How can you expect them to get into it if you're not showing that you're into it? You know what I mean? You've got to get into it if you want them to get into it.
I was having this conversation with someone about ELO and ZZ Top from Glastonbury. And I was saying, isn't the music great if you shut your eyes? But as soon as you watch it, you sort of go, this is really boring. You know, especially with ELO, he never moves off the same spot, does he? Like the entire hour performance is literally him with his guitar stood in one place. I want to see the band, you know, energise me.
It's a show, isn't it? It's not just, if you can go and listen to a CD, if you want to just listen to good music, if you've got to have, each show is only happens once. And you know what I mean? It's like we went to see, I went to go and see Noel Gallagher, Why Not? You know, I'm a big Noel Gallagher fan, but I walked away for halfway through the set because I was just like, he just wasn't having it. He did four songs, didn't even speak to the crowd, and then he was like, you know, he spoke a little bit, but it was the first time I've watched him. I was like, now I know what Liam does, you know what I mean? It was like, I was dead disappointed, but I ended up going watching some like little bands around the different stages and stuff, you know?
And is that the first gig you've walked out of?
Yeah, because I love Nolly G, but it's just like, it's just like, this isn't entertaining me, you know what I mean? Mm. The sound was bad because that was like a sound problem, but in terms of entertainment, I was like, I didn't know where to look. It was like, he was just, you know what I mean? It was just a bit flat. He just felt like he wasn't having it, you know?
Boys, you ever walked out on a gig?
I'm sure on festivals it's
a
the same
gig?
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's maybe not one of, you know, paid just to see someone, but, you know, I know if I'm saying on like festivals, sometimes you just think, oh, I want to be entertained. I'm here to have fun. And if it's a bit kind of down, you just think, oh, that's the beauty of it. Just go somewhere else, see someone else, and there'll always be something there for you.
It's easier with festivals, but if you've paid your 20 or 30 quid to get in a gig for one band,
then you just hit the bar. Then
I had to walk out of gigs twice, but I was forced because I had to get the train. I was stranded in London or Birmingham.
Slightly different.
I knew there'd be a random answer.
Yeah. We went to see the Libertines. Up in the Libertines mosh pit. That's what it was.
that was quite fun.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport, and talk for Liverpool.